Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Is it capable of turning this around? To your point about what comes first and then what's long term, you know, it's like, okay, this financial crisis, that's an immediate symptom of something that's wrong. So you go to the hospital, we stop the bleeding from, you know, from the tumor that's causing, you know, internal bleeding and causing you immediate peril right now. You can stop that, but then the cancer is still there. Long term, how are we going to cure the cancer? And that's the question that's really in front of Milwaukee community members and this board of directors right now.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Let's get into it. Breaking this morning, MPS Superintendent Dr. Keith Posley out. It's what they wanted.
We want you gone. No more playing games. Say bye-bye to the bad guy in this whole board, because all of y'all failed our children.
Oof, packed house at MPS headquarters and an hours-long public hearing.
President Herndon.
Aye.
That's seven ayes. The motion passes.
And early this morning, after a lengthy session behind closed doors, that motion to accept the resignation of Dr. Posley, effective at the end of the month, but he's essentially done now. Another senior MPS staffer will run the district while they search for an interim superintendent. The board hired an outside financial expert, former superintendent in Waukesha, Todd Gray, to help them secure the state funding for the Department of Public Instruction that is in jeopardy due to MPS failing to file. They're 8 months late on financial records to DPI. That may ultimately have a fix. No one believes, I think, in earnest that the state will actually withhold millions and millions of dollars from Milwaukee students who aren't at fault in this. So they will find a fix, but it will not be as easy to fix this.
We believed in you, but we no longer believe in you.
We need to fire this man. Yes, and I need y'all to understand that firing him, we cannot let that stop us.
You know, some parents at the meeting talking about recall elections for the school board. It's over more than what? This financial crisis that is a failure of trust. Remember, this all comes just weeks after voters approved that $500 million referendum for MPS. TMJ4 News talking with this parent after the meeting.
I encouraged my neighbors and my friends to vote for the referendum. And it seems like the higher we go, the more corruption that there is.
Would that have changed your vote?
I would have not voted for the referendum.
Yeah, so MPS begins anew this morning working to fix the immediate financial crisis. That's story number one. Got to hire a superintendent long term. That's story number two. And then even longer term is, how do you rebuild the trust with this community?
And that's a question we posed to Alan Borisik, senior fellow in law and public policy. You may recognize the name, also a longtime Journal Sentinel reporter on education. And here's what he said when it comes to the trust issue.
You've got student achievement. You've got major staffing issues, just getting people to take teaching jobs. You've got leadership issues. You've got the state of kids in the city outside of the schools, which obviously is a whole nother set of crises. The agenda of problems, a friend of mine used to say, their problems have problems. And I assume the immediate financial issue will sort of be patched over, and someone will come in to run the system. But how are we going to move forward? That is such an urgent and huge question.
Yeah, and the president of the school board did speak on that issue of, you know, what are we doing short term to make sure that we're going to get that money? That's most immediate concern. Let me see if I have Marva Herndon on that. Yeah.
Our priority is to complete all documents and reports necessary to the Department of Public Instruction to avoid any delays in funding.
So as I said, the board has hired an outside financial expert. He's a former superintendent from Waukesha, Todd Gray, to help shepherd them through that process. Also, just coming in this morning, comment from Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson I have his statement, which is rather lengthy. I'll read you just this one paragraph. Regardless of how the district got to this point, what our students need and our community deserves is accountability, stability, and solutions. I have discussed with both DPI and MPS the plan in place to resolve the reporting and accounting mismanagement that landed MPS in this situation. We will secure the needed resources for our community's children and educators. I believe that. I believe it's too big to fail. I believe a lot of people will get DPI what they ultimately need. That's not to downplay the seriousness of being 8 months delinquent on getting them their numbers. But I think they won't allow that to happen.
How does that there's still questions about how that lasts that long, too. I mean, it reminds me of the Christmas tree story about who's going to take the Christmas trees. Remember that? The city
dealing
with that.
Yes, and who knew what when? And yeah, they're like, how, we didn't know about this.
What? How in the world does it go that long? That you're delinquent that long in reporting something that you're being asked of.
So the issue of trust, though, I think is really, really serious for MPS. MPS, as we've talked about in the last couple of weeks, always been a punching bag. And, you know, some of the criticism has been fair and some of it's sometimes not fair. But again, this isn't a situation where historically you've had maybe people who live elsewhere or outstate Republicans who complain about funding MPS and other. This is folks in Milwaukee who feel like they got duped because they weren't told the whole story. They didn't know what was going on. They feel they got duped by the superintendent who's now out. Maybe they got lied to by the school board, or at least the school board wasn't fully transparent with them. You've got the board itself saying, we didn't know some of this stuff. Like, it's a total collapse.
Do you have his comments readily available? So right after the board accepted his resignation, he made comments to the board, and just give him a listen.
And this is about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Probably 2:30-ish. Yeah,
after the hours long bloodletting from the community, after the lengthy closed door session, after the exception and the vote to accept his resignation. Here's the now former superintendent Keith Posley.
I just want to get this opportunity to say thank you, and to the board, thank you for trusting in me to serve the Milwaukee Public Schools. Thank you.
That sounded a little tone deaf.
I was waiting for an I'm sorry about that.
Thank you for trusting me to screw this up. Is basically what many people believe he should have been saying.
Right. Weren't you waiting for a sorry about that?
Yeah.
Or I understand, you know, I had nothing but the best of intentions. Yeah. I understand
the frustration.
That I failed. I let down this board and I let down the community, and for that I'm deeply sorry. Or not just, hey, thanks. This has been great. This
great
has really
run.
been an honor.
I'm out.
Right.
Get some job in Chicago. I'm gonna head to Baltimore or Detroit.
I'll go work for a think tank somewhere.
All the other superintendents where they end up going after us.
So long term for MPS, a number of people on the text line this morning chiming in, like, do you wanna keep doing the same thing? Or is it time to really think about major structural change? It's been floated before that you put the schools under the purview of the mayor, which is done in no community in the state that I'm aware of, right? Every state has kind of the same structure. You have a local school board, you elect your school board representatives, they hire and manage the superintendent position, and schools are run that way in this state. It's been suggested that, look, put MPS under the mayor, then you have one person who's solely accountable for that. The mayor could either appoint school board members or have a separate department within city government that runs the schools.
It's interesting you bring that up because we asked that of Alan Borsick as well. Is just like, what's the bigger issue right now? What's the biggest challenge? Is it the finance piece or is it finding the right leader? And he said neither.
To be honest, it's bigger than either of those things, in my opinion. Certainly, it was abundantly clear that Dr. Posley had to leave at this point. I mean, Nobody was there to support him anymore. And they do have big financial problems, which I don't want to minimize that. But the bigger problem is just, how do I put this? How do we get our act together? How do we get stabilized and focused on improving the whole situation for Milwaukee kids? Because it's really so listless and so drifting at the moment. And so they need someone, and they need a whole team to come in and say, it's a new day, and that's not going to be a simple order.
Because what are you going to do? Hire another superintendent to come in here and deal with the same stuff? What's the quality of applicant you can get for this job? Who wants to come in here to this mess?
Right.
right? To be behind the eight ball to begin with, right? Mm-hmm. To start mm-hmm. from behind. So the pool of applicants is maybe not going to be as attractive as what it might be for some other jobs. You've got an uphill climb. This position has, you know, chewed up and spit out a lot of people, some of them good, some of them not as good. And so you have that. I mean, can you proceed long term without completely reinventing this? And that's politically tough. I don't know if the mayor wants to do that, this particular mayor. My administration will continue to work to bring people together around education in our community. I hope the resolution of the financial reporting issues, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I'm not cracking on the mayor here, but it's like there's no big plan right there.
Right.
And again, it's not under his purview, but it could be. Could be a big idea there. I know there's been talk about breaking up MPS. You have a bunch of smaller school districts. I don't know if I love that because then you just got a whole bunch more bureaucracy.
Yep.
Right?
Madison's tried to get involved before. Try to take control.
Hand that over to the state. Maybe they can have more influence. Is that what you want? I don't know that you want that. But it you know, it has to be fixed. It's just here we are again. So just if you just go through the same process and we're going to have an intergalactic search for the right candidate to come in as superintendent, and the superintendent's going to, you know, go through the same processes, fight the same bureaucracy, even if you've got a great candidate there. Is it capable of turning this around? To your point about what comes first and then what's long term, you know, it's like, okay, this financial crisis, that's an immediate symptom of something that's wrong. So you go to the hospital, we stop the bleeding from, you know, from the tumor that's causing, you know, internal bleeding and causing you immediate peril right now. You can stop that, but then the cancer is still there. Long term, how are we going to cure the cancer? And that's the question that's really in front of Milwaukee community members and this board of directors right now. 8:24 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
A funeral home nightmare, or is it a funeral home miracle? It's one or the other, a miracle or a nightmare. Authorities in Lincoln, Nebraska, say a woman who was thought to be dead was later found to be very much alive at the funeral home. And now they are investigating. ABC's Brandon Alley.
Police say the 74-year-old woman had been transported from a nursing home where she was pronounced dead yesterday. 2 hours later, a funeral home employee saw the woman breathing and called 911.
A 74-year-old female that was believed to be deceased and brought here is now agonal breathing on the table.
Funeral home staff conducted CPR on the woman, and she was rushed to the hospital where her family was told she's still alive. The sheriff's office is investigating, but no charges are pending.
The funeral home director was heard to be yelling, "Who knows CPR?" I'm kidding, that part didn't happen. But they did try to bring the woman back to life. Obviously, she was breathing. She is now in a hospital, as you heard Rhiannon say there. She is doing well, and currently gonna make it, at least from what they believe. Lancaster County Chief Deputy Ben Huchin says, yeah, they're looking into this now.
I'm sure they'll look at, see if new protocols need to be made or if they were all followed.
Well, I certainly hope so. I mean, in other news.
Right. Listen, so we've had a thing here. Turns out she's not dead.
So who gets the first, like, sit-down one-on-one? Is it the guy at the nursing home who called the time of death? Or was she really dead for several minutes? Both things could potentially be true, according to some scientific research on this. It's possible that she actually had a heart stop.
We took her pulse. It wasn't there. We checked her breathing. It wasn't there. And what, at some point in the interim, it came back. But it would have to be before they put her in the hearse, right?
Was Jerry just a little distracted doing something else that day? How does that happen? They say there's no criminal charges, nothing like that. They don't think there's anything nefarious or any criminal activity at all. But clearly, how in the world does a woman end up at the funeral home alive?
Who makes that call then, too? Who called the family? Hi, Mrs. Schindlinden. It's Jerry here at the home about your mother. Good news. Good news. She's not dead.
Yes, she's at the hospital right now.
I have good news for you. I mean, are you sitting down? How do you make that call?
And I mean, I guess that's an emotional roller coaster for the family, oh, too, sure. You would imagine.
And so is she very much alive? Like, or is she like, I mean, she was in hospice.
The report right? I got was alive and well.
And well?
Yes, alive and well.
Well, sometimes miracles do happen. 8:32 on Wisconsin's Morning News. That's a rule, right? Can't talk before the drum break down there.
All right, that's fine. Show rule.
I've made it a rule. 20 minutes before 9 o'clock, we've got Admirals President John Greenberg waiting in the wings, set to talk about tonight's puck drop at 7 p.m. Nijet at UWM Panther Arena as the ads are down 0-2 in their semifinal series here in the Calder Cup playoffs. Eric wanted to talk about dinosaurs.
I did not.
Or I could do Bobby De Niro.
What's Bobby up to now? Or what's he not up to?
So you can talk about the dinosaur tomorrow? Save that for tomorrow?
It doesn't. Maybe it's a pancake breakfast special on Friday.
I'm intrigued.
Okay, see? That's a good tease. Tease ahead. You have to listen all day tomorrow. Maybe we'll mention it. Let me get this De Niro thing because it's a today thing. Robert De Niro has been uninvited to an event tonight where he was supposed to get an award.
No. You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
I didn't insult him a little bit.
That's De Niro and Goodfellas there. It's Jimmy. National Association of Broadcasters has revoked De Niro's award and invitation to the Celebration of Service to America Awards event because the group thought his recent work and comments on behalf of the president's reelection campaign would create a distraction. That from the New York Post. Now, why would that be? We had some of this. Just days before the verdict came down in the trial against former President Donald Trump, the Biden campaign held a news conference outside the courthouse. And De Niro was the headliner.
If Trump returns to the White House, you can kiss these freedoms goodbye.
He then continues on. And even if you were in the Biden campaign and originally thought this was a good idea, you had to think there were some folks behind the scenes cringing like, whoa, this got out of hand and went to a place we didn't want it. De Niro starts tangling with Trump supporters.
I don't even know how to deal with you, my friend.
I mean, is that Bobby De Niro or is that Jimmy Conway from Goodfellas? It's the same guy.
Right.
He's like in character.
Yeah.
Has he been typecast all these years? Like, that's the guy?
I think that's clear now.
Can you imagine if you're just a regular person who was out at this thing and there's Robert De Niro and you're a big mega person and you get up in his business a little bit and now you've got like what appears to be like the guy from Goodfellas tangling with you on that level?
Take that stupid hat off. You're a bunch of clowns. When you see this guy get elected, f*** you.
Oh, he's just going with the F you. A bunch of clowns. Insulted him a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay, there's more. So here's a statement from the Vice President of Communications. He was supposed to get this award, the Celebration of Service to America, that's out for the National Association of Broadcasters. It is what the VP of Comm said. While we strongly support the right of every American to exercise free speech and participate in civic engagement, it's clear that Mr. De Niro's recent high-profile activities would create a distraction from the philanthropic work we're hoping to recognize.
Yeah, they don't want protesters or any issues.
And they want to be, NAB says we want to be apolitical. Yeah. And yeah, this went political and whatever. Yep. I'm not kidding you, Ian. The Vice President of Communications for NAB is Alex Siciliano. Hey, Siciliano.
What are you, stupid? What's the matter with you?
I apologize.
What's the matter with you?
How is that possible?
Of course.
Could have been John Roberts,
right.
Bill Smith. No, Alex Siciliano. So they send him out. Hey, you tell De Niro. Right. You put out the statement.
Who's going to tell him?
It'll look better if you put it out. So no award for De Niro. Uninvited to the party. You could say he's become untouchable.
I get nowhere unless the team wins.
On Wisconsin's Morning News. Admirals need you tonight at UWM Panther Arena, down 0-2 in their semifinal series in the Calder Cup playoffs, the Western Conference Finals against Coachella Valley. The Firebirds are in town, but now it's 3 here in Milwaukee. President of the Milwaukee Admirals, John Greenberg, in the house with us this morning. You did say it, though, Greeny. At this level, you expect to win on home ice for the most part, so being down 0-2 is not terribly unexpected.
Not terribly unexpected. You know, if you win a game on the road, it's an awesome achievement. But, you know, you come here and you want to win your games on your own rank, turn the thing back around, and then you go back out there for 6-7, and then it's like, okay, we need to win one of these games. Mm-hmm. And you just do everything you can to do that. But in our league, all 4 number one seeds advance to the conference finals, all good teams. So we know you're going to have a tough battle.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, typically, you guys put on quite a show at home, even during the regular season. So yeah. I imagine that tonight you're going to ramp it up a bit.
Well, our fans have been helping us to ramp it up, really. I mean, the crowds we've had at these games, these playoff games, have been unbelievable. The atmosphere, such knowledgeable hockey fans have been coming to these games, and the loud, you know, loud noises. You know, there've been a lot of loud
yes,
noises.
Right.
So, you know, I didn't want to tell our team how many people were coming to that last playoff game, Game 5. I wanted them to come out of the tunnel and all of a sudden hear this roar and the adrenaline level was going to go, and it worked. So the crowds, you do make a difference. I mean, our coaches said it. It's true. Where it's not just you know, us saying that just to, you know, make you feel good. It's a fact. You know, crowds do make a difference at these games.
Assuming we have 3, which I am assuming that we will, what's the schedule? You got tonight, and then is it Friday, and then one over the weekend?
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Okay, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday.
Yep, 7 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock Thursday for Game 4, and then Game 5 on Saturday night is at 6.
What are you giving away? Come on, give us something.
We've got...
Immediately.
So, yeah, there's noisemakers we've done each round. So, okay, cowbells in the first round, inflatable cheer sticks in the second round. And tonight is... it's basically it's hard to even describe what it is, but it makes a lot of noise. It's like called a fan. It's the not really the technical name for it. It's like a poster that folds up and then you slap it together in your hand or on your lap.
Is that the noise that you're looking for tonight?
That's good.
Except much louder. Yeah.
NHL, the two conferences have like trophies that they win. Is there something like that in this as well?
Yep, the Clark Trophy is the Western Conference.
That's what you're going for.
Yep. The league just informed me yesterday to keep an eye out that was coming here, and ooh. I'm like, oh, I'm not opening it because it's not going to be won in this building.
I'm not signing for this package, right?
So it'll
go
be
ahead and keep it there.
It'll
in
be in the case, sitting in some corner somewhere, and then we'll. We'll take it with us out to Coachella to win it next week.
Mm-hmm. Boy, a couple of those out there, and you're in Palm Desert, California, and we were talking about it here on the air as we were following every step, and we're like, boy, 9 p.m. puck drop, woof. Late for your fans, but also late for these players. Is that a tough adjustment? You don't usually travel that far, you know, when you're in season.
Yeah, it's a little bit of an adjustment.
Yeah.
You know,
9 o'clock at night. It's one thing to go for a late afternoon, 9 p.m. puck drop.
Yeah, well, yeah, 7 o'clock in California, so not too bad. But it's still the body change to be able to go out there, and it's not like we had 3 or 4 days off to get out there and get acclimated. We flew out, had a day, played a game. So, you know, it's something that these guys, you know, they're young. They can get used to the time change. The key is the day after, you know, that's how when it really hits you. And that's where you do have a day off to kind of recover. And then you walk outside and it's 104 degrees.
Right.
So, you know,
we were going to golf today, but
those sitting by the pool for an extended period of time.
Hey, again, I'm counting on you winning this series. You would be in the Calder Cup Finals then. We're starting to get pushed up pretty close to the Republican National Convention, and you and I have talked about you being close to all of the action there. Any concerns or worries about, you know, scheduling games out here in June? Are you good?
We're good. We've been given clearance. The RNC folks have been very helpful to let us finish out what we're doing here, and we didn't have to go find somewhere else in the world to play Calder Cup Finals
games. Imagine, right? Finally get that thing back here in Milwaukee. Yeah. We got to find some over at Wilson Park.
Yeah. So awesome. We are clear to play the rest of the run, and that would go all the way through potentially June 26th if we made it all the way to Game 7.
Well, let's make it tough on them.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, absolutely.
Right? That's
absolutely
the plan. Admirals President John Greenberg in the house. Need you tonight, 7 p.m. Puck drop at UWM Panther Arena Thursday and Saturday again for this home series. Thanks, John. Great to see you.
Thanks, you guys.
Go Ads.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Traffic sponsored by Two Men and a Junk Truck. Keep what you love, ditch what you don't. Let me get you the Storm Team forecast. That is brought to you by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. My goodness. Chance of thunderstorms once again late today with a high of 82 degrees. Storm Team 4 Chief Meteorologist Brian Nisnansky told us earlier that some folks in Dodge County may have gotten north of 3, maybe 4 inches of rain in just this latest round. So it is waterlogged out there. Scattered showers and storms tonight, low of 65.
You've been wondering about this kid that seeing on TV.
Why am I seeing this little kid? What was that in the U.S. House? He's making faces on C-SPAN.
So Congressman John Rose was speaking on the floor. He's a Tennessee Republican, and he was speaking on the floor yesterday on C-SPAN. You know, you're down there in the front, and oftentimes there's not a lot of people in those seats.
Oh, no.
And he brought his six-year-old with him and told him, hey, just smile for your camera. Smile for your brother on camera there. So he sits in the back behind his dad as his dad is speaking on the floor of the house, yada, yada, yada. And there in the back is little six-year-old kid making smiley faces, sticking his tongue out.
He's got to say, he's like, googly eyes.
Yeah, making faces for his brother, who apparently was supposed to be watching on TV.
His brother hopes he was. And if he hadn't, it's on every network today. This kid.
Everywhere now, this kid.
Even better, he's a ginger.
Yep,
this little red-haired kid in there. It's a parent of two gingers myself. It makes it even better. This kid just blah, 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 blah. Being a six-year-old.
Mm-hmm. If you missed anything, text the word Vince to the WTMJ Talking text line, 855-616-1620. All of the show and all of our shows are segmented and diced up and put on there for easy listening enjoyment.
And get it wherever you find your podcast, WTMJ's Political Power. Steve Scafidi up next. You said forget about the end.